Part 1. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with Jizz and Skiz. He's Skiz.
And he's Jizz.
I was trying to trip you up.
You can't trip me up, man.
Oh,
no way.
Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes. Chios.
Chios.
This is 83 Part 1. We're back again for another weekly episode.
Oh, that reminds me, John. Next week, Super Bowl Sunday, we will not be podcasting.
That's right.
We're going to put an ad hoc together.
We could. I don't know. I'm not sure where we're going to be, but we could. Where are you going to be?
I'll be home.
Oh,
I ain't going.
You're
nowhere.
Not going to Marty's?
No. Was I invited?
I don't know.
He didn't invite me.
What an ass.
No, he may have. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to him when he was talking.
That's nice. I wasn't paying attention to him. Yeah. We're thinking of doing something here.
Oh, really?
We could pass the mic around during the whole game.
Nice. Well, we are having the family over for my son's birthday.
Oh.
And some of them may be staying to watch the game at our house. But if they don't, then I can certainly head over here. And maybe we could do like an ad hoc, after Super Bowl ad hoc.
Oh, yeah, after the depressing
only,
loss.
Right, only,
yeah,
only if the Bears win. Right?
I might get real ugly. Yeah, whatever.
Well, that could be interesting, too, if the Bears lose and we just pound JD and see what happens.
Oh, that'd be like fisticuffs and stabbing. Did you just cut me, fucker? Hey, man, somebody brought a piece. Who's packing?
All right, so we'll try to get something out next week. It's not going to be a full show. Most likely just an ad hoc.
Yeah, speaking of birthdays, it's my mom's birthday today.
Oh, it's today?
Yeah.
Nice. She was out at the gig
last night, John. It was last night, too, technically.
Oh, technically right. After midnight, it was your mom's birthday. And she certainly did celebrate,
John. Oh, yeah.
She was in a celebratory mood.
She's 62 and was going to lift her shirt up. And
She was going to show who? Marty?
Brian.
Brian. She was going to show him her golden globes.
Yeah.
But somebody, did Brian stop it? Somebody was saying, but
it wouldn't be pretty because she suffers from furniture's disease.
What's that?
Where a chest is in her drawers.
I've never heard you say that one before,
that
John.
One.
That's funny.
It's a good one, ain't it?
Well, when we were, I can't remember, I think it was the start of the third set. Oh, we had a gig last night at Eddie's.
Oh, by the way.
Arlington Heights, by the way.
Yeah.
So
I'm
at the beginning
hoarse.
Of the third set, I'm looking at Rick. Okay, come on, Rick. Tell me what goddamn song we're going to play. It's like pulling teeth. So while I'm trying to get Rick to focus on and pick a goddamn song, I hear from the audience, yeah, and I'm like, what? Who was that? And I turn around. It's my mom.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's my birthday. I know I burped.
Jonathan Andrew.
I told her, if you call me that one more time, I'm going to stab you in front of everybody.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So
what'd you think of the gig?
Needless to say, I'd like to say goodbye to my mom. May she rest in peace. I think they got home okay. I haven't talked to them yet today because they live up north.
Way up north. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I saw her outside and I said, hey, you guys are hanging around the neighborhood tonight, right? Oh, no, we're driving back.
The fuck?
We're going to go back home.
She had seven vodkas and ice or something. I don't know. And I'm looking at my dad and he's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, please.
Oh, that was because of the mom or because of us? I couldn't tell.
Because of the band. I don't know. He got rear-ended or something the day before.
No, that always blows.
Yeah, so he wasn't too happy.
That blows.
And then my mom was all liquored up.
Yeah, yeah, all liquored up.
Yeah, she wasn't feeling any pain. Yeah, it was. I thought it was a good gig.
Yeah, it was a great gig. But the one thing I talked to a lot of people about coming to this gig, and everybody, oh, yeah, yeah. A guy I work with, he lives upstairs. Oh, yeah, I'll have a party afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So somewhere between 10 and 15 people said they were going to show up. Guess how many showed up, John?
Oh, God.
How many?
One.
Yeah.
And say what you want Mr. Schmuel, John, but he showed up.
Yeah, and he was decked to the nines, man.
Well, he had the Hungarian dance that night. He cut out of that. He might have cut out of that early to come.
Do you know any Slavic, you know, being from Hungary?
Uh-huh.
Kind of close to that area.
Not really.
No. I said, you don't know Kudos? Yeah. Wait, what? I don't even know what it is. I think it's Kudats Yabe Pichka Svaki Dan.
And that is?
Dick like pussy every day. And somebody correct me if I said that wrong. It's Yugoslavian. Kudats Yabe Pichka Svaki Dan.
Well, I'm going to go into work and tell my colleagues that phrase, especially the ones that were supposed to be there.
Will you have to put money in the swear jar?
No, we don't have that anymore.
Oh.
But I wonder what their excuse will be, you know? What possible excuse could they have? Oh, it started to snow, and since I live right upstairs, I couldn't make it. You know, some shit like that.
I saw a flake. Yeah, you looked in the mirror.
But other people that came out, we had Marty and Phil come out. Yeah. They've been guests on the show. We had
Greg even came out.
Dan, who was a guest on the show. And when I was talking to Marty and Dan came over, I said, hey, here's another Bush apologist. You guys should have a nice conversation. And then Marty was trying to backpedal.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Well, how do I apologize?
Well, that's the first time that ever happened, John.
What?
You know, I pulled the tab off and I put it in the beer.
Yeah.
And then I almost swallowed it.
Why would you do that?
That's never. I've had 1,000 beers where I pulled the tab off and put it in the beer.
But you increased the chances of swallowing the tab.
Yeah.
By 1 in 1,000.
That was close.
So, yeah. I think you'd have to die on the show because I wouldn't be giving you CPR.
Would you post it at least?
Yeah.
My last dying breath?
Yeah, it'd be like Steve Irwin.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife would get involved, though, and to do the honorable thing, you would give her the MP3.
Right.
Right. So here's what happens. So we show up, we set up. We got there pretty early. It was a difficult setup because it's kind of a small place, and they got the double doors.
Yeah,
so we get everything set up.
The room is like shaped like a half rhomboid.
A half rhomboid. Very good, John.
Yeah.
You remembered geometry, right?
No.
No?
I just know that rhomboid is a muscle that's in your back between your shoulder blade and spine.
I thought it was like some sort of a geometrical.
It is. It is. It's shaped. It is. It's shaped like a rhomboid. But I asked, why do you call it rhomboid? Because it's shaped like a rhomboid. I go, what is a rhomboid? It's like a rectangle that's been slightly
altered.
Altered, yeah, like twisted almost.
Right.
And and most people suffer from this problem that use like a mouse or have their hands at a keyboard to get a slight pain
in their rhomboid.
In their rhomboid.
Nice. All right. So we get there, we set up, And I set up customarily. I am the bass player, John. You are the drummer. I set up to the left of you.
Yeah.
By the hi-hat. We've done this, I don't know, 2 years now. I'm almost in the band.
Right.
So we start doing that, and Rick comes over, and because his stuff is going to be back in this the corner of the rhomboid, yeah. It's all bent.
Yeah, because he can't be seen by the right. same people that have been seeing him play since he was 12.
Right.
Might not get a good look at him.
So we get over that hurdle, and then everything goes pretty well set up, some PA issues. And then I finally get the memo that, what's the name of the band?
Joe Dickhead or
Joe
something.
Joe Dickhead is going to play
Joe
three
Dick
songs
Doc
before we even go on.
Cocksmoker.
And so some guy I don't even know.
Joe Rockhead. That's
Joe
it.
Rockhead. Some guy I don't even know is going to play my bass. Not only that, he's going to adjust the strap, John.
Yeah, you never met him before.
I never even met this
guy. I've met him like three times, I think.
So I find this out, 20 minutes before those guys took the stage, and then Rick wants me to help set up the goddamn keyboards?
Yeah,
fuck
I think,
that.
I think Rick said it a couple of times sheepishly. Yeah, we're going to have Tony play a couple songs.
Well, I guess when I hear that, I think he'll come up and sing, because sometimes he invites him up to sing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it one of the things that pissed me off is it wasn't made clear to me. And then even when I asked you guys, hey, what the fuck is going on? Both of you were, like, evasive.
What?
Oh, yeah, didn't we tell you that? Yeah.
We? It's not my band. Did you see me playing in it?
Catheter. They're going to play. Catheter's going to
play. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm like, what? Somebody just tell me what the fuck was in the memo.
I was making that comment for Rick. Yeah. Catheter's going to play a set, and then Knob Rocks, we're going to do a set.
Right, and, right.
Yeah, it's Battle of the Bands tonight.
I see. So it depends on your perspective. Right.
Yeah, let's play some more oldies. Like, there's not enough fucking oldies bands and Des Plaines.
Well, you know, if it was just made clear to me beforehand, I would have went out of my way to introduce myself to this bass player who's going to be playing my bass. It's like touching my private parts, John. I should know the guy first.
Right.
And I would have been fine with it. And the one positive thing that came out of that is they get up there and there's a kind of a sound check, because you said, well, Tony plays the drums so lightly, we really don't get a good idea of how the drums are going to sound. But we get a good idea with the vocals and...
I thought they were pretty good, though.
The guitar and the bass. Oh, the three songs that they played, like you said, they know three songs. I thought they were great. And that's the other thing that pissed me off.
They were great?
No. We have, our library is maybe 160 songs.
Yeah, we played 20.
And of those, I get to sing, like, one, right?
Yeah.
And this other band Rick's in, they play three songs, and Tony gets to sing one. So he gets to sing 33% of their songs. I don't even get a one percentage point of what I get to sing.
You want to sing more?
I want to sing more.
Oh,
especially
I didn't
when
know
Rick
that.
Complains about it losing his voice all the time.
Oh, I had
so
no
next
idea.
Time we practice, I was going to suggest, Rick, I can be an understudy. I can be an understudy on all of these songs.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
For instance,
you
if he starts losing
lead.
His voice.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you got a good sense of melody for the lead, but you got to stick on your note, man.
Yeah.
When I sing harmony, you can't think, oh, am I singing the right note? So I'm going to sing the same one that John's singing.
No, I've changed my mentality about that, John,
good.
And I just go ahead and sing.
Just
and
stick with your note.
Well, I have no idea about harmonics. You are very talented in this area. So you can hear what I'm singing and just...
Not according to Phil.
Oh, did he make that comment last night?
No, Phil says, I said once, I'm having a hard time harmonizing with Marty. I harmonize so much better with Rick. And Phil goes, that's because both of you sing out of key together.
So he was suggesting that Marty sings in key?
Yeah.
I've heard Marty sing, John.
He doesn't sing in key.
He was on the show singing, wasn't he? Didn't he sing Weezer?
Oh, yeah, he did. What's with these homies dissing my girl?
Yeah. Why do they all have cunts? Isn't that what it is?
No, you doofus.
So they go up there, they play their three songs, we get a little bit of a sound check, and then we hit the stage. And oh, the other thing that they have all these, it's a restaurant as well. So
yeah,
they didn't clear enough tables. We're like playing in the middle of the restaurant. So they did manage to clear one, what was it, 36 by 36 table?
Yeah.
Thanks, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
So when these chicks came to dance, John, there was no room.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, they're spilling over onto the stage. And one almost took Rick out.
Yeah.
Because she was hammered.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Almost took you out, too.
Yeah, somebody came up behind me and was grinding on me,
yeah.
John.
Grinding on
you. They really grind on you
grind
over
on
there.
You over by there.
And her husband wasn't there, or her 10 kids, so this was okay.
So, we did so well at Eddie's, the bartender, the owner, manager, bartender,
yeah.
Slash, wants us to play every month, John.
Every month. She gave us a nice tip, too.
Yeah, nice tip. Nice.
Of course, I had to bend over to get it. I think it was more than a tip that went in. Yeah.
But we haven't nailed down the details of the next gig, if there is going to be one. And if there is, what day it'll be. We don't know.
We should start our own band.
Me and you?
Yeah.
I definitely think so. I think that you and I could write stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I could write stuff with Rick. He's too controlling.
Yeah.
But I think you and I could exchange ideas and write and get it out there, man.
Right. Marketplace of ideas.
That's right. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. Lyrically.
Here's a tune I wrote right here. Can you put words to it?
Sure. Lyrically, the thing that I struggle with lyrically is making a coherent song, putting a song together that actually makes sense.
Well, I think you start out with something. Like, you know, you come up with anything. I'm taking a shit.
Oh, I understand that.
Ooh, it feels good. And then you refine it and you start realizing, okay, that doesn't sound right. So you...
Like Paul McCartney, Scrambled Eggs.
Well, yeah, you stick with the... Well,
Scrambled Eggs.
He's just writing a melody in that
right.
case. That's a little
different.
That's
what you got to do. You got to write the melody first and then come back. But what I'm saying is, like, for instance, if you listen to Penn Jillette, he gets bent when there's grammatical errors. And I'm the same way. But I also take it a level further. If the song, the lyrics don't make any goddamn sense, it pisses me off to no end. And 90% of the people don't even listen to the lyrics. They just listen, they hear the
Wait
melody.
A minute. This long-haired
of the lyrics.
Giant fuck that paints one nail red.
Yeah.
Gives a shit about the grammar in a song.
Yes.
Who cares?
He does.
It's stupid. Usually the lyrics don't mean shit.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's
so
why I struggle when writing songs, because I want my lyrics to make sense.
But the musical part of the whole song, the whole reason it is a song, is because of the melody.
Additional depth is what you're saying.
Dance on top of the rhythm and the...
But you listen to Nirvana, none of that shit makes sense. What is that? Nothing. I don't know what that means. My libido. But it's the way he weaves that, and he's a good yeller, too.
Yeah.
But that's what I get hung up on. So if I just learn to let that go. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. There's a Sheryl Crow song where she sings, are you gonna see the lightning before the thunder strikes, or some shit like that. It's completely backwards. Because you first see the lightning, and then you hear the thunder. But she's got it twisted around, and she says something about thunder, and then, I hope you hear the thunder before the lightning strikes, is the lyric.
Yeah.
And it drives me insane. It's like, what is that?
Right. I don't know. It's poetry.
Yeah, right. Maybe she went the other way, right? But it didn't fit her melody, so she flip-flopped
right.
it. And she's an artist, right? And that's part of art, is not caring what other people think.
That's right.
So I need to get to that state, John.
So,
not
you
care.
Know, Penn can have an opinion, but
yes.
whatever song he's bitching about still sold, you know, 10 Brazilian records.
Right. 10
while he's
Brazilian.
Talking about fucking monkeys on Tuesday.
Oh, and that's what reminds me. I don't want to segue too much into this, but I don't watch too much TV, but there's this reality show with Hulk Hogan. Hogan Knows Best, about him bringing up his kids.
And, oh, yeah.
So I'm walking by the TV, and the mom and the daughter, who wants to be a musical star, decide to adopt a monkey.
Oh, that's not going to end well.
So they have a chimp comes over, a one-year-old chimp, and now the show is going to be about them trying to take care of this chimp.
Can you actually adopt the W?
Oh. I don't think the W is adoptable, but he certainly is a chimp. I think we've proven that
right
over and over. All right, so the gig went well. We may do it again, John.
Right.
And, Dick, what in the hell's the name of this band that opened for us?
Joe Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead got a gig at Murphy's in Arlington Heights
right
in February.
Right.
Are we going to go check that out as audience members?
I don't know. Check my schedule.
Your schedule?
Yeah.
Schedule?
Yeah. I don't know if I could sit through another. It's like, to me, it would be like going to an open mic night, because the songs they're going to play are almost exactly to every song you hear at an open mic night. Oh, we play Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh,
again? Okay. Another band that does that? Great.
Great, yeah.
That's great. You do Hang On Sloopy, too?
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, man, we used to do Hang On Sloopy.
Yeah, I hated the fuck out of that song.
Why didn't you say something? You're a member of
the
band.
Does it matter what I say?
You could have said, I don't want to play that song. Okay. Well, I would have been like the decider. I would have said, hey.
I'm the decider.
I'm the decider, but if you show me a song you want to play that's better than my song, then I'll do that. But until then, I decide that we're going to play this song.
It brought Brian and Brandon too much joy.
Did it?
Yeah. I love playing bitch too, just so Brian can get really hammered.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
The bitch.
Do do day do do day do do day do ding down.
The bitch.
You bitch.
Yeah.
That was hot, man. The good old days.
Yeah, I like the shit we're doing. You know, we're pepping up all kinds of crazy stuff, you know.
Really tunes. Crazy stuff. It throws people off.
Yeah.
Like, and, Volpe made a comment. I don't think I'm sorry. A bonk!
What?
He said...
Just draw attention to it.
He said, hey, you know, I was expecting to come and see, you know, the Kangaroo Court that I've... boy, you guys really surprised me, and I like the direction you're going in.
Cool. Wow.
From the V-Man.
From the great Dan
of
X-Side.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, that guy Mike Hybe, that real tall guy with the mustache that always...
He had the black leather.
Yeah, he used
long.
To sing... Jealousy with us or something.
Did he?
Yeah, he used to come up. I think he came up once or twice.
Oh, at Arlington? I remember that, yeah.
And he hangs around that band Catfight.
Catfight, that's all chicks, right?
Yeah, and he knows Dan because he go to see
Catfight
X-Side all the time, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, hey, John, how you doing? I go, you know Dan from X-Side, right? Yeah, I was the original drummer from X-Side, man.
Oh, you told him?
Really?
You got some props. Huh?
And he goes, wow, I'm sorry to hear that. Then he walks away.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. I said, wait, back in the day, we played, you know, the metal with the spandex and the hair.
And the big hair, yeah.
And he goes, okay, well, yeah, boy, really sorry I missed that.
Oh, and also, John. One of the TTN listeners came to check us out.
Oh, yeah.
John,
John.
We don't want to give out your last name, but he's been a listener for a long time.
Works for special ed.
And he only approached us at the very end of the night, and I can only assume that he had to build up his liquid courage, John, to
stand before such greatness.
Right, that's right. Jizz and Skizz. He had to build up the courage to meet the celebrities.
The great Jizz and Skizz.
Worldwide celebrities, John.
Jizz and Skizz.
But he was very nice, and I hope he keeps listening. And we should have had him call in or something and play Shit or Shinola.
Right. Good point. I didn't think of that. I should have told him.
Shoulda,
woulda, coulda. Wow.
Yeah, it always throws me off when our fans come up and introduce themselves. I never know what to say. I have the gift of gab when I'm here in the room with you, John, but when I'm out in the real world, I'm like Tony Hearn. I can only imagine.
I know.
What that...
But Rick even made a cut. He speaks.
When?
Last night. The bass player does speak.
That's right.
Something like that, yeah. And I thought, anytime there's a mic in front of you, you're blah, 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 blah. But no, it's got to be a certain kind of mic, I think. That if you can't hear yourself in the headphones with the big booming
sound,
you don't...
Yeah, because if you didn't have all these effects on here, I'd sound like a big pussy.
There are no effects.
The only really? Thing, this is how I really sound?
No, you're just compressed a little. So we don't clip. Well, you're warmed up a little bit with some tubes.
All right, any final thoughts on the gig?
Just that, man, it's a lot of work, dude.
It is a lot of work, and you mentioned that if we do play once a month, we're going to have to try to scale it down.
I'm bringing a snare, and that's it.
That's all right. That's cool. That'd be cool.
We had the full-on everything, including the subwoofer. One, anyway, instead of the two. Because those are a bitch. I don't know why he got those, except for the Arlington gigs. That's the only thing they're really good for. The Beacon, any of those other gigs that are so small, there's no point in having them.
Well, all that shit we brought, and then at the end of the second set, we get feedback. Yeah, you and Scott, we can hear you really well, but we can't hear Rick's guitar. So we bring all that shit, and nobody can even hear Rick's guitar.
Well, you spend so much time dicking around with it, setting it up with that crossover and everything, that you don't have time to actually figure out if anything works. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Right. Right.
And to get somebody to say check in the mic when you're trying to hear it. Ah, that sounds good, John. What do you think? It sounds great, Rick. Then I'm behind the speaker. It sounds great.
All right, then. Let's move on. How we do it on time?
Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? I can breeze through some science news in 3 minutes and take it to part two, John.
All right, then.
All right, first science story tonight. Smoking addiction can be erased by knocking out a tiny part of the brain.
Oh.
How about that? It's called the insula. In a study of brain-injured former smokers, half said their cravings had completely vanished. Three-quarters of the subset had suffered insula damage, John. Smokers in damaged insulas were 136 times more likely to have their addictions erased than smokers with damage in other parts of their brain. So
they get hit with a hammer?
They don't go into the details of how they got their brain injuries, John. But one of the things they think is we can help people quit smoking by targeting the insula. And maybe we can target alcohol, cocaine, gambling the same way.
Wow. It's not genetic then, huh?
But damage to the insula is associated with slight impairment of some social function.
Really?
Yeah, so you wouldn't, you'd be like me if you went out on the town. You'd be kind of socially retarded. But that's okay, you wouldn't.
No, after you get a couple drinks in you, man, and the show gets going. I love the Skizz show after you've had a couple of...
What are you talking about, the Skizz show?
Tales.
What does that mean?
I'm going to go for broke hair.
Yeah, it is the Skizz show, isn't it?
It's pretty funny.
That was in my bachelor days, John.
No, even today.
What?
Today.
Today?
We got something going down here. I might have to waste this guy. I'm like, this little guy that's going to wrap around your face like a spider. Yeah, man.
Oh, I remember that.
Hold on. I'm going to go talk to him.
Somebody say bleed.
Right. Make me shut up. Hey, man, I don't make monkeys. I train them. Well, we're like 30 years old, and you're telling some guy, hey, I don't make monkeys. I train them.
That guy was an ass.
Make me. I don't make garbage. I burn it.
Right. And our next science story, John, let's get back on track.
Funny, man. It's like ingrained in my brain forever.
Activists are attacking research on why some rams are gay. 80% of rams show sexual interest only in other rams. Did I say 80%? I meant 8%. A researcher is studying the biological factors involved. The critics' allegations. He's trying to cure homosexuality in rams. And this could lead to breathing out human homosexuality.
Do you suck dicks?
The researcher's rebuttals. I'm studying rams, not humans.
Oh.
I'm focused on causation, not manipulation of sexuality. I'm against sexual eugenics in humans, and my research might help figure out which rams will breed. So this is a big problem when they need to breed. Because if you got 8% of your rams won't even hump the whatever they're supposed to hump.
Yeah.
They're worthless, John. It's a business decision.
Rams like to ram other rams.
Right.
With their ramrod.
But apparently they're coming up with a genetic fix to this. So that's why...
So you can fix gay people now?
Well, we don't know if you can fix gay people, but you can fix gay rams.
Gay rams.
And let's just go on to say, John and Jizz and Skiz have nothing against homosexuals.
Gay rams.
Or gay rams. I mean, it doesn't change my opinion of Tony Hearn one bit, John.
What's your fucking point?
And our last science story. High-definition video is embarrassing porn stars, John. Oh. The problems? You know what the problems?
Ass pimples.
Razor burns, cellulite, wrinkles, ass pimples, visible veins, fake boobs.
Wow.
Remedies tried so far. Diets, exercise, makeup, tanning spray, grooming assistance, cosmetic surgery, softening lights, changing sex positions, and airbrushing. Director's attitude is HD is cool. Actress's complaints. The men in the industry are willing to sacrifice our vanity and imperfections to beat each other.
Wow.
To HD. And I'm having my breasts redone because of HD. So it's shaking up the porn industry,
wow.
John. This HD in porn. They don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much, man. Yeah, you see that that snapper up close in HD.
Oh, you've seen HD porn?
No.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen
it
either.
I'm just thinking.
Oh, you're just imagining what it would be like.
Yeah, cavernous.
You get the HD porn plus the aromatic viewing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm envisioning, John.
Hey, what did the blind man say as he was passing the fish market?
Want to stop in for a cold one?
No. Good morning, ladies.
Yeah. All right, then.
All right. We'll take it to part two. I got to get some aspirin.
Nice.
I got a fucking headache.
Thank you for listening to part one of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part two is just a click away.